Like you said, most of the works are on paper. Some of them are drawn with pen on paper, some of them are prints of digital art. But Wes's work just really stood out to me, and I was so glad that he decided to have this be his submission to the exhibition because it's a textile work. And yeah, I also think of it as a blanket, which I think is so fascinating because blankets are so important in Northwest Coast culture. It of course varies from nation to nation, but they're seen as signs of wealth, signs of nobility. They're used as like protection, spiritual protection. So I just thought that was so on point with what I wanted the exhibition to communicate. But it isn't what people think of as comics, because I mean, it's fabric. We don't think of comics as being on fabric. We think of it as either on paper or on a screen. But there is a graphic element to it with the figures and the text that are on the fabric. And they are telling a story that is elaborated on in Wes's artist statement on the wall. So, yeah, I was really glad that that was able to kind of trigger people to think more deeply about what is a comic, what can a comic be? And yeah, just think more about how we conceptualize these visual narrative stories. They're not always scene A, scene B, scene C. Sometimes they're more sort of circular than that.
Yeah, definitely. I'm trying to form my words. Yeah, the blanket really stood out to me. I think because it's like as you say, it's a multimedia work. It's not just like pen on paper. I don't know. Sometimes I think about it, and I still have to like take a moment to process it because it was really cool to see. Okay, before I get lost in that, let's move on. Anyways, one of the highlights, definitely go check that out if you're going to check out Hoyam. That's what our conversation right now with the guest curator at Bill Reed Art Gallery, George, is about. We are talking about Hoyam, the exhibition, about comics. One of the things that I felt like was a through line at the exhibition was this feeling of encouragement for folks, particularly like Indigenous youth, to get into comic making. And there's even an activity at the exhibition for folks to make comics of their own. Can you tell me a bit more about this as the curator and as a comics creator?
So I really wanted this exhibition to not just be seen. I didn't want visitors to see these comics as something behind glass. Because, I mean, it's a gallery. You're obviously not supposed to touch the things on the walls. But comics are meant to be read, they're meant to be handled. And so I really wanted to have a reading table. And so there is a table at kind of the end of the hallway that has books, not just from the artists in the exhibition, but from all different Indigenous comic writers and artists that visitors can spend some time with and read. You can sit down instead of standing up and staring at a piece on the wall. You can kind of take your time with the different stories, let them ruminate, form a relationship with them. And the part where visitors can draw a panel of their own comic and it can be placed on the wall, I don't want to take credit for that because it actually wasn't my idea. It was done by the education specialist at the gallery, Sarah, who was amazing. So there are large pieces of paper with panels of different shapes pre-drawn on them, and people are welcome to add a panel or two of anything they want. And Sarah's been putting them up on the wall. And I was so happy and surprised when I visited one day to see that because one of my main hopes with this exhibition was that people would grow an interest in comics and read more of them. So to see people not only reading them, but actually drawing them too, especially people that aren't artists themselves, was just really like fulfilling and exciting for me. And they also do school programs, school tours at the gallery. So across the wall from the larger tapestries, I guess, that people can make are smaller comics that students have made to sort of reflect on what they saw and learned at the gallery. And they're all different ages. So there's some from really young kids that are really cute and insightful. So that's actually one of my favorite parts of the exhibition, and I didn't even do it. So I'm just really glad that that came to be and that it's been well received and people have been interacting with it.
Awesome. Yeah, shout out to Sarah then for doing that. I really enjoyed looking through those because it felt like you could see kind of like what each visitor who participated, where they were kind of like at in that part of their their life, I guess, and like it captured, I don't know, some like cool creative energy there. As we're kind of like starting to wrap up our discussion today, it's a pretty short one, but you know, we really want you to actually go and see the exhibition yourself, you, the listener. Jordana, what are the biggest influences in your practice and your biggest comic influences, and what do you hope Khayyam inspires in visitors to the exhibition? I think we touched on that a little bit, but if you could talk even more about that.
So whenever people ask me what my influences are, it's such a huge question because I'm influenced by everything around me, by every piece of media that I take in. So not just comics, but every movie I watch, every album I listen to, seeing like fashion on Instagram, it all inspires me and my art. But I did prepare like a small list of comic artists just to be a little more prepared for this question. Obviously, the artists in the exhibition, Cole and Wes and Gord and Michael, have all been huge inspirations to me, which kind of maybe goes without saying. But I'm really influenced as well by manga artists, which for any listeners who aren't familiar, manga is Japanese comics. And that's actually what got me into comics, was that format, specifically the shoujo genre. So the genre targeted at like teen girls. So Ryukyu Kui, Kamome Shirahama, Rumiko Takahashi, those are some of my favorite manga artists, Hayao Miyazaki. I've also been really influenced by honestly a lot of female comic artists, Jillian Tamaki and Emily Carroll, who are both Canadian as well, Kiku Hughes, Sam Beck, Jamie McKelvey, Rosemary Valero O'Connell, as well as tons of authors of like novels as well, which I could talk about forever, so I won't go there. But yeah, I'm hoping that this exhibition drives more people to read comics in general, but especially to seek out work by Indigenous creators and creators of color in general, queer comic artists, just people who have been pushed to the margins for a really long time and have really unique stories to tell. I hope visitors seek those things out and just sort of incorporate them into their daily reading and their daily reflections on what a comic is and what art is.
Can I like expand on this mini subject a little bit? The listener can't see, but I like when you were talking about manga and a lot of the female comic artists that you were mentioning, like it's like I'm kind of losing it a little bit because like yes, like, oh that is I really see myself in that experience as well. Are you watching Delicious in Dungeon right now?
It's my favorite show.
Yeah.
And my favorite manga.
It is so good. Delicious in Dungeon, for the listener who doesn't know, is a manga series written by Ryoko Kui. It is currently being streamed, I guess, on Netflix with its anime adaptation. I really got to tone it down here, but like, oh, those character designs are so good.
They're so good.
They're really great. And if you could recommend like maybe like five of the things of the comics that you think folks can pick up to like kind of get started if they're not really into comics, or even if you're just like, if you don't know about it, please do yourself a favor. Like, what are those five?
Oh man. I feel like it's hard to say just because there are so many different genres and everyone's so different about what is going to stick with them. Looking at my bookshelf, one, I would say Saga by Brian K. Vaughan and Fiona Staples. That's a graphic novel series. It is kind of explicit. It has like nudity and swearing and violence, so definitely for an adult audience. But that's one of my favorites that got me really into Western graphic novels, especially long form ones. It's so hard to narrow it down. I would say maybe Cole Pauls actually has a great graphic novel called Quandor that just came out a couple years ago, and it's a collection of his short stories. So you get a great like sampling of his work in this one book. I would really recommend that. I mean, I'll say Delicious in Dungeon because that's one of my favorite manga ever. If anyone is familiar with Dungeons and Dragons, it's kind of in that vein, but it's more focused on cooking and eating the monsters in the dungeon. But it's actually surprisingly insightful and touching and funny. So it's one of my faves. Specifically, this is the horror genre, but anything by Emily Carroll, a good start would be Through the Woods, because that's also an anthology. I think it's four or five of her stories. She has such a unique, beautiful graphic art style. And she's a great storyteller as well. How many is that? Four?
You can keep going. That's fine. We've got time.
Okay. I would say maybe I'll say another artist from the show, Gord Hill. The first book of his that I read is 500 Years of Resistance. So that's sort of a history of indigenous people in, I think it's mostly in North America, but I think South America too. Indigenous people's resistance to colonialism over the past 500 years. And I think just a couple years ago, he came out with an expanded version, which I have yet to read. So the original's in black and white, but the expanded is in color. And it has a lot more information that he added in, as well as some revisions. So definitely recommend that, both for getting into comics and for getting into Indigenous history and anarchy. I could go on forever, so I'll stop it.
Sure. Okay. Well, that's a great list. Those are some wonderful works, and a few of them I haven't heard of, so I'll definitely have to go check that out as well. But yeah, as we're coming up to a close here, as kind of like the person of the hour on the show today, tell us a little bit about what you're currently working on and how people can get into your work and follow it and support it.
For sure. So right now I'm working on my first graphic novel myself. It's going to be coming out in 2026 from Conundrum Press. It's called Firewall. I'm calling it an indigenous cyberpunk, or an indigipunk. So it's kind of a future low sci-fi focused on indigenous characters and indigenous issues. Working on that right now. Vancouver Comics Festival is coming up this May. It's May 18th to 19th, and I'll be both a vendor and a panelist at that. So if you have any interest in comics whatsoever, it's at the Roundhouse. It's free admission. Definitely come check it out. It's always a great time. What else am I doing? I'm always like cooking up new ideas. It's just finding the time to actually do them. But yeah, if people want to find me, my website is jordanageorge.com. And I'm also active on social media, which is linked on there. And yeah, that's me at the moment.
Cool. Thank you so much, Jordana. You can find their website on Google, and also it'll be linked on the archived episode of this episode of Typically Tuesdays when it goes up later on this week. And of course, don't forget to go check out Hoyam. Hoyam. Thank you. Don't forget to go check out Hoyam. It is currently continuing to run over at Bill Reed Gallery in Vancouver. It will be there until May 19th. Get into it. It is an incredibly fun time, and everything is just extremely gorgeous. You don't want to miss this. Go check it out from now until May 19th. Thank you so much, Jordana.
Yeah, thank you. High school.
This is Bird Note. Sam Ohugan is the senior scientist and cultural advisor for the Nature Conservancy of Hawaii. And he's quick to tell you about how special Hawaii's ecology is.
Hawaii is an amazing place because it's a microcosm of the world. In one limited area, you have a huge number of the major biome types of the entire globe. And you can find an environmental setting in Hawaii that can support just about every living plant species.
With invasive species and climate change, Hawaii has experienced so much loss and extinction since Western colonists arrived. But Sam, who is Native Hawaiian, has done a lot of work connecting Hawaiian culture and tradition to conservation ecology.
The best managed and preserved areas on Earth that remain are ones that largely retain their indigenous relationships. It's a movement that's growing, and Hawaii is kind of leading the way in that. There is growing recognition that traditional knowledge is a vital part of long-term conservation success.
Sam hopes that one day, Hawaii can be not just a microcosm of ecology, but of conservation as well.
We get to be the example of what can happen in a place if you can work the right combination of people and the natural world. People living in a place, caring for their lands from the top of the mountains above them all the way down into the depths of the sea.
For Bird Note, I'm Mark Bramhill.
Welcome back to Typically Tuesdays. You just heard Andrina Tolin with Jusui Albel, new music from her. My name is Leslie. And I hope you enjoyed my conversation today with Jordana George. It's always just so fun to talk with other comics lovers about comics. But like, and listen, I'm not trying to shade any amateurs here. But like, it's also really super cool to talk to comics professionals about comics, because it's just like to know from where they get their influence, how they're going to use this art form and storytelling form to contribute to wider discussions about the world and contribute to fiction, and to inform and educate people, to also like kind of like chat with them about great comics. Always just like so fulfilling to me. And so I'm just really grateful for Jordana's time and energy, and I'm really grateful to you for listening to today's program, for making Typically Tuesdays your choice to for choosing to spend an hour listening to Typically Tuesdays today. Remember, you can go check out Hoyam up until May 19th. That's actually Van Calf weekend. You know, again, like, more comics, of course, we love. But yeah, go check it out. And if you want to talk about comics, hit me up over on Instagram. You know, I love talking about that stuff. I am at Typically Tuesdays. If you don't have Instagram, hit me up over on email, typicallytuesdays@gmail.com. Tell me about what you're reading, what you've enjoyed. Tell me about your experience at Hoyam. We are hitting the top of the hour here on the show today. Thank you for listening. I've been plugging Democracy Now! Endlessly for so long. Monday to Friday, 11 to 12, get your source of progressive news, 90.1 FM or cjsf.ca during that hour. And for your music fix, I mean, like, obviously listen to any of the open mic shows here on 90.1 FM. We're on, like, literally at so many hours during the week. One that I would really recommend you check out is Daniel's open mic. every Monday from 2 to 3, right before typically Tuesdays. Daniel has great taste in music, first of all, obviously. And also, I've been listening to his show whenever I am able to catch it, or if I like sometimes like might stumble upon it if it has changed its hour. And I've been hearing him on air since, I think, August last year. He's an excellent host, and so excited to facilitate your music listening experience. So go check out his show. Mondays from 2 to 3, that's Open Mic with Daniel, right before typically Tuesdays. All right. Thank you so much for tuning into the show today. One last track. This song must have been one that I heard on CJSF the very first time I listened to it, because it sounds super familiar, but when I looked it up on my platform, I couldn't find any history of me ever listening to it, even though it is such a banger. Sometimes we love sad boy yearny music here on the program. One last track today here on Typically Tuesdays. I've been Leslie. I hope you enjoy. This is Bella by Ecstasy. I'll see you next week.